Hello, hey, bonjour. I'm Gwen Lafage, and this is B2B Marketing Fika, a series of casual interviews with B2B marketers in Europe. Real stories, real tips from the people who are actually doing the real work on the ground. Let's grab a coffee and a bully, and let's get started. Today, I'm talking to Frederica Bennison, VP of Marketing at Coniti, and EdTech company who is elevating the learning experience. Before this, Frederica was head of marketing at Proof Analytics and CMO at Froda. Welcome, Frederica.
Thank you so much, Gwen. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So first question, are you more of a tea or a coffee drinker?
I am very much of a coffee drinker, unfortunately, but trying to switch into tea more and more. I do love my coffee a little bit too much.
Yeah, that's good. I'm more of a tea drinker. I have my little cup of coffee with California on it today. And has this is like a supposed to be a fika. I hope you have yours too.
I went with water, sorry.
No worries.
I already had too much coffee.
That was really good. So you changed job about 2 or maybe 3 months ago now and started at Coniti as VP of Marketing. So first, congrats on the new job and getting a new job during this year, which is like challenging for everybody. Can you tell us a little bit about like those first few months? And I'm curious to learn about how you approach a new job like this, mostly remote and as VP of marketing in a new company. What are like the maybe 30, 60, 90 days plan that you set up for yourself?
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm really, really happy to be a part of Coniti. As you said, it's a learning platform for international schools, with a really bold ambition to help all the students across the globe to get a good education, which is something I believe is super important.
Yeah, it's a great mission.
Yes, exactly. And that is actually why I kind of kept an eye on Coniti, and I saw it as a really interesting SaaS company, what they were communicating as well. So, when I felt it was time to move on, I was thinking, what companies are out there that I think I would love to work for? And it was really nice to start thinking in that way. And that led me to Coniti. And then I also saw that another woman who I really appreciate a lot and have had the opportunity to work with a little bit before, she got the role at Coniti as CRO. And that made me just to lift the phone and and start talking about this. And then they had a rigorous hiring process. That was also really impressive. So I was really impressed with the company. And I still am.
That's great to hear. Yeah. And it was really good timing for you.
It was. And I think that's often the case, right? Finding a new job that you love, it's very often about timing. Mm-hmm. Timing for them and for you. And that's exactly it. I feel it's a good timing for both Coniti and me. Yeah. I've been here for 2 months, as you say. And it's been a lot about, of course, understanding the audience that we need to talk to and to understand the ecosystem. Because I have never worked with teachers and head of schools. So this is a new target group for me, which is also really exciting, but challenging. I really need to get to understand them and know them and understand how I can communicate with them in a good way. And also to understand, I mean, EdTech and e-learning platforms are booming right now because it's a market who has been pushed into going from pretty immature to being mature over just a few months, because mm-hmm. they have been pushed into technology because schools needed to shut down, right? So it's also interesting to understand from a positioning perspective, okay, what context do we live in now, and how should we position ourselves in the ecosystem? So that has been one focus, but at the same time, I've been trying to push forward everything connected to positioning and branding, and just giving myself some time and the organization and the marketing team some time to see what are we actually communicating, like what do we need, what easy fixes or quick fixes do we need to focus on, like in Q5 to be able to keep lead generation going. So I think the first few months is about kind of quickly understanding that the ecosystems are thinking about the fundamental messaging, but not getting too absorbed in that, because I think many marketing people are kind of tweaked to love branding and everything that has to do with, you know, the outside of the brand kind of. But I've been trying to push that into next year to actually give the team some time to dig through, okay, what needs to be fixed on the lead gen engine side, and what content do we have that can be repurposed, what do we need to produce, like to make sure that
the target audience are schools, but the model, I guess the principle and the model we use in B2B marketing are the same, you'll say, like lead gen, content, inbound, like it's just the same principle that apply, or is it a slightly different approach?
No, it's the same approach, but I think the key is just to understand the messaging, the fundamental messaging, and what to say when throughout the funnel, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But
many of the tactics apply.
Right. Okay. So the first few months is focusing on messaging and focusing on fixing maybe some of the machine, right? When you say lead gen, and like maybe some of the more tactical things to get some of the low hanging fruits, like we say.
To make sure that like the engine is running properly, and then you can accelerate from there, and you can feed it with even more and better content, but just make sure that kind of that is running smoothly. But at the same time, and I think this is a challenge overall, to be able to look far enough but also in front of you, is like racing on a racetrack, right? You need to look far ahead, and you need to see that there's not a rock on the road in front of you, right in front of you at the same time. And I think that is a true challenge for all SaaS companies that are growing very fast, and how to balance that all the time.
Right. Yeah. And how has it been for you to start a new job in this context? So, I mean, in Stockholm, we are like luckier than in a lot of other countries, in the sense that we can go to the office from time to time, but you've been mostly remote, right?
Yeah.
So is it hard to start a new job like remotely, and what are some of the maybe things that you've learned, some of the tips for people who are starting a new job remotely?
Well, I don't know, Gwen. I'm surprised with, you know, how easy it is to build relationships and get to know people, even if we sit like this and have a coffee. Mm-hmm. So I think the important thing is to set up a few coffee chat
right
as well.
Not fika.
Yeah, exactly, like this. That's what you miss, right? The chats around the coffee machine, you don't really get that as much. Mm-hmm. And maybe also like in a larger group, Cognity it's been easy because Cognity is really good at this. So we have quiz evenings and, you know, some fun stuff happening that you can jump on in the Friday afternoons. when you can, which is great. So you see a lot of people.
Yeah, that's fun. Great. So before working at Kunidi, you work in a bunch of like tech companies, and you also work on the agency side, right? What do you think is like the biggest difference, and what made you kind of switch and go, like we said, an agency in-house?
Yes. Well, they're both fun. and I think it's good to have done both, because on the agency side, you get better at the creative process and how to kind of push the limits for what you can do from a creative perspective. From the inside, you're more connected to, of course, to the strategy and the tactics. And that's where I really thrive, because I want to have a broader perspective. I mean, I cannot only think marketing from a marketing point of view. I need to understand the whole business model and the sales and the customer success side as well. So I think that's what I like, to get the bigger perspective,
right,
from the inside.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. What do you think makes like a great VP of marketing? So you think it's that understanding maybe of that that understanding of the business as well, of being getting connected to the in and out and the tactics. Do you think that's like a key thing to make like a great VP of marketing?
Well, I wish I had like a 10 bullet list that I could execute on, right?
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. And I think another big part of it today is to manage expectations and to be very transparent and brave enough to say no, and to let the management understand that, yes, data-driven is good. Yes, we can measure lots of things. No, we cannot measure everything. And if we're going to measure everything, we're just going to spend 80% of the time on measuring and 20% on executing and planning. So it's about finding that balance and manage those expectations, I believe. And also making, you know, the whole management team or main stakeholders to talk about this. Because I feel that many marketing managers and VP marketing are kind of feeling a bit threatened when it comes to measuring and showing results. And it's kind of important to take that bandage, just rip it off and be very transparent with the numbers. Because, I mean, you can have 17 different touch points, and it's all from three different devices, and that customer journey is, you will never really understand the different touch points and the value that they actually contribute. So I think, to manage those expectations and to kind of look at trends and not getting stuck on the specific numbers, to know, kind of manage your way forward in optimizing.
Yeah. Do you think that there is a lot of like education that has to be done by the marketing team or the BPO marketing to the rest of the organization in the companies you work for? Do you feel that that has been like a challenge to kind of explain the role of marketing, or like explaining to people why they shouldn't just get stuck on the numbers? I think there's been this kind of, I'll say it's funny, because before, I will say like 10 years or 15 years ago, no one really cared about the numbers in marketing, right? It was all about making pretty campaigns and nice PowerPoints in a way. And then everything has shifted almost to the extreme, where now everything seems to be a little bit about the number. Do you see that too? Do you feel like it's trying to find that balance that can be challenging?
Exactly, yeah. No, I totally agree. And I think, like you say, it switched to being super data driven and just looking at the numbers. And I think we need to as in all changes, I think we see this happening. Like we go extreme and then we bounce back a little bit and we find a good balance. And I think we are going back and trying to find a good balance. And yes, I do think that marketing has an important role in educating everyone around us on why we need to find this balance, and also why we should not lean on numbers that might be wrong, because it could be really unfortunate to make decisions based on numbers that are not showing the whole truth.
Right.
So I think, look at trends, of course. I mean, we have lots of gain looking at data and numbers, but also blending it with some gut feeling and insights from experience.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen you had this quote, I think maybe on your LinkedIn profile, that said, "Technology is the heart of great marketing. Content is the soul." I really liked it. I was like, oh, that's a nice quote. Can you expand maybe a little bit on that and what you mean?
I thought it sounded good. No, but what I mean is that we have the lead generation and technology in that is the engine in everything. It's the beating heart, and it needs to be fed with content to run properly. But that content isn't just consumed at one point and then it's dead. It's living for a very long time. And I think that's also important for companies to understand and see how they can use all the content that they are creating and repurpose it and kind of maximize the value over time, because you can see the content around one company as the big soul, like the whole complete messaging and how they want to help their audience.
Yeah, great. Yeah, no, that's a great analogy. I really like it. And I know you are you seem to be like a pretty balanced marketer in the sense that you believe both in the data-driven approach and in the power of branding. I've seen in some other thing that you kind of mentioned both and how like they kind of work together. And I'm very much on that side of things as well. It's interesting. Do you think that a lot of tech companies understand that, or they are like they tend to just forget part of it or focus on one part and not the other?
Absolutely. I think it's difficult myself. mean, but I do know that both are important. And branding, I think everyone knows that branding is important, but then it's kind of finding the balance and you know, how to, building a good brand is about so many things. It's about, yeah, it's about the look and feel and the design, but it's also about the messaging and how we can build up that messaging so we talk about our product in the same way, and that the product itself is experienced in the same way as we kind of sell it and market it. It's the whole cake, like you say. And I think a good branding focus is to start aligning customer success and sales and marketing, like the whole commercial team and the product. Mm-hmm. And I think many companies are aligning their commercial side, but there might be still a gap of, at least what I've heard in some chats with other marketers, that the larger gap is to the product.
And
how they see their product brand and the vision for the product, and to really align everything there, because the experience gets so strong when they are truly aligned.
Yeah, for sure.
But I guess it's different for different companies, of course.
Yeah. So maybe that's the next battle. Like, I think like we've been like talking about a lot about sales and marketing alignment. Maybe we made a lot of progress there. Now it's like product and marketing alignment or product
yeah.
alignment, maybe.
I mean, I remember, I think for the last 20 plus years, I've been drawing these three circles on a board and on PowerPoint slides and having talks and chats about it. But I guess this is a discussion that will just keep on going. But I do think also working in tech companies, of course, product needs to be closer to commercial as well. And you can even, the product can become a part of the whole commercial side. Mm-hmm. You have product-driven growth and marketing as well. So I think technology is also pushing this forward. We need to be closer together and more aligned.
More aligned. Yeah. So it's finding that right balance to be product-led growth, but not only talk about features, I guess, which is one of my battle and branding.
Yeah.
Don't just talk about features.
Exactly.
So find that balance to talk about the product and the benefits of it without just focusing on the features of the product.
Yeah. And there I think marketing has a big role. Mm-hmm. We're often really good at the top of the funnel and closer to the features and functionality, but everything in between, like helping our potential customer to evaluate your solution or your product in solving a problem. Like, how does it compare to other categories? And how do we talk about all this? And how do we help them navigate? Mm-hmm. That's where we need to get better, I think.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, no, for sure.
What do you think?
I agree with you there. I think it's like, and when everything is aligned, is when you see things working and people or companies really growing super fast. Is when they there's no disconnect between the marketing experience and the product experience. And I talk about this example a lot, but I guess because they've really done a good job and in Slack, because everybody, I guess, learn Slack by using the product and then they have this complete alignment between the experience you have when you use the product and the rest of the marketing experience. So that's a great example, I think, of the role of marketing and the, when we talk about branding as well, about how your brand is everywhere in the sense that it needs to come across when people use your product as well. And that's something a lot of people forget, right? Like they think the branding is the logo and like a few colors, right? Mm. When it's more about the experience, but overall.
That's it. One thing that I am thinking a lot about right now is content, because content, it's driven by marketing, but we're looking for content throughout the whole funnel. And then it's like, so what content can we develop to support sales and to take, you know, to save them time? Like they can... Yeah. Use this content to really be able to focus on closing deals instead, and the same when it comes to customer success. Mm-hmm. Then this needs to be planned and executed on. So like, where in the organization should this rest? Like who is going to be responsible for what? And that would be interesting to talk about. And I'm talking with a few other VP marketing on how they see this and how they, like, how can you structure this in the most efficient way. There's so much content that I feel companies need to produce right now.
Yeah, because we think, I guess, a lot about the content for lead gen purposes, but in reality, I think it's also further down the funnel that a lot of, like you said, sales or customer success teams also need this content.
Great content created from training or support that could be used in the lead generation as well. So
for sure.
Both ways.
Great. Well, fantastic. This was really, really interesting. I wish we could chat more. Maybe we can when we're not recording. And have like another fika soon. But thank you so much for your time and for your great insights. And let's keep in touch.
Yes, definitely, Gwen. Let's talk soon.
Let's talk soon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. This podcast is sponsored by Skona, a full-service creative agency with offices in San Francisco and Stockholm, which transforms B2B companies into brave brands.